This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better. Hey, hey! I'm excited to bring episode number 41 to my listeners. Hey, thanks for being a listener. I really appreciate it. This small little quirky podcast recorded here in Liberty Hill, Texas by Allison Crow. Yeah, so this is episode number 41, you guys, and I have a special treat for you. Last week in the Soulful Success community, we had a panel of Soli members. So I call my members Solis. We had a panel of successful Soli members. And I'm super excited to share the recording of this session with you guys. It is really powerful. So you're going to want to get a notebook and a pen and a piece of paper if you're in business, and take some notes and insights. And I would love, once you're done with this, for you to tag me in any photos of the podcast and let me know what your insights are. What are your takeaways? So these are three of my members that have radically changed their careers multiple times. So these are all three stories of reinvention, dragging everything in their business down to zero to restart again. Well, except for Nadine. Nadine has a business that she started quite a while ago and that runs successfully. And so she's been able to pursue some other entrepreneurial adventures. And Diane and Peter have both made drastic 180s in their careers to do new things, new identities, new reinvention, and they've all three had amazing success. So I am excited to bring you the recording of this session. I think we called it From Goose Egg to Growth because I know a lot of you are reinventing. You're starting from scratch. And when I say scratch, I mean, obviously, however old you are, that experience really matters. So please don't cut yourself short. But sometimes when we begin to do something completely new or different than we've ever done before, or we leave a position, or we leave corporate, or we decide we're going to take our business offline to online, it's a big transition. So I'm excited to bring these three with you. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts. Before I do that, I do want to say, hey, if you are interested in becoming a Soli, please go to soulfulsuccess.live, and that is spelled with two L's, so soulfulsuccess.live, and get registered for the wait list. We are not going to be opening up until May. And you're going to want to hop in. The other thing that I want to share with you is I totally appreciate your iTunes reviews. Would you please? It's podcast currency, so it really helps me out when you share positive reviews. If you have something shitty to say, just don't say it. But if you have something good to say, I would totally appreciate any shares on social media and especially iTunes reviews. So with that, thank you all for listening. And here is episode number 41.
What's up, people? Woo! I love a Monday. Who else loves Mondays? Does anybody else love Mondays? Love them. Just finishing up the Kajabi class with Diane. Okay. And so, welcome, you guys. We've got a couple of minutes before we actually start, and we're going to have Nadine and Peter Weller and Diane as our panel of experts, and I have some questions and stuff for them, and I'm excited for you guys to learn from them. In the meantime, oh, what was I going to tell you? This week, Marcia is teaching a class on life force energy. Who knows what else? That'll be exciting. Coach Weller, were you at a send out cards this weekend? What were you at this weekend?
I was at PSI seminars here in Denver.
Oh, PSI.
Yep. I was staffing an event.
Okay.
48 people started on Friday. 48 people finished the Life Success Coach on Sunday night. Freaking amazing.
Awesome. I was just, I just was thinking about that last night. I sat at my computer while we were watching TV, and I made a whole bunch of new heart memes. So like on Instagram, every sixth thing I do a yellow heart. I'm working on creating patterns in my life, which is not, it's actually one of my biggest stages of resistance. But the one I, one of them I did was like, and I was thinking about that because I was thinking about people who achieve success quickly, go to shit, get involved in shit. And I don't care what you do, but going to events and volunteering in events and paying for events and all those things, I was reflecting, like, I've already been on two. I have a call with somebody tomorrow. I've signed up for two. So behind the scenes, I've signed up for two new things. One is I'm going to go to a mastermind here in Austin with a group of people that I have no idea who they are. I just have been following them. I actually have one girlfriend that I've gotten to know here, and she tagged me in a post. It was like, I get to invite a friend and you're the one I want to invite. And so I was like, I'm down. It's Kick-Ass Masterminds. And then I also joined another one of my colleagues, sent me a message and said, you know how we've been looking for support for our level of business, and a mastermind for that. And so she sent me one. So I joined this thing called the Brave Society, and there's only 34 women in it. And already just by their enrolling process, I have gotten so much value. So I think that obviously I'm promoting an event right now, but I think that going to events is a BFD and has been one of the most profitable, both in my friendships, in my network, but also in my bank account. Okay, we are at 101. Welcome, everybody. And so let's see where people are. And I know Diane is finishing up that class, so we'll see when she hops in. I wish there was a way to make, we'll just have to follow. So Nadine, wave your hands. Nadine is one of our experts today. Peter Weller is one of our experts today. And Diane Black will be on any minute. I knew she was getting into first base or getting into home plate after her class. So those of you who don't know, and Peter, you or any of your clients, Diane is doing a Kajabi thing too right now, and she's actually taking an hour every day. She's calling it Kajabi Hero Spring Break. And so,
nice.
Yeah. So whether you want to refer your clients, there she is, or see, because I know y'all both work and refer and help people with Kajabi. Okay, there's Diane Black. So Diane Black, wave. So here's what today is. Today I am calling. I was feeling into the Instagram and I was just like, I did not feel it, but I was watching and listening to some of you guys who are newer. Some of you guys who are in growth, some of you guys who are in achievement. And I have three people that in the last few years have started over. So they're not brand new in the sense that they've done nothing and started, you know, done nothing and started from scratch. But all three of these people have reinvented their business self in the last few years. So I'm calling it from goose egg to growth. And random little side note, coming in May, we are going to have two business calls a week. You will choose which one you want to come, but we're going to have the launch for newbies, and we're going to have the growth and achievement. Probably growth will be on Mondays and launch will be on Tuesdays. Or they'll both be on Mondays. I'll figure it out. But just get excited. I'm going to narrow it down for those of you that are further advanced. Your business call will still only have one live call, but we're just breaking it into two groups. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is we kind of do this rapid fire and then we'll get into it. And if y'all have questions, you can type them in, but I'm going to go back to them later because I actually have some questions. So the first thing, Peter, here's what actually all of you, I want you to introduce this incarnation of your business. And what is your specialty helping people? So Peter, we're going to start with you.
Okay. So this incarnation is business coaching and Kajabi Build Assist. Okay. So it goes hand in hand for me. Being a business coach, I realized that the technology side was what was missing, and that was one of my strengths. Allison Crowe, you helped me discover that I made it so it was simple. So I combined the two. So now it is my clients told me what they needed by me discovering who I was.
Perfect. And so when did you start this incarnation of your business?
The coaching started 18 months ago. We did not get traction in that until last March. And then Kajabi Build Assist showed up in October of last year.
Okay, perfect. So October, November, December, January, February, March, six months. Once he narrowed it down to what he's specifically able to help. Okay, perfect. Diane, this incarnation of your business and what your specialty is helping people.
So this incarnation is the Doodle Institute, which is unlocking creativity at home, school, and work and building online courses. And its incarnation started, I'm watching him walk across the yard right now, started 4 years ago when this little boy came into my life and I needed a complete career reboot.
Awesome.
And Allison Crowe married me.
I did marry her. Peter, before this, you were in real estate management, brokerage, that kind of stuff. Diane, before this, had a completely offline business, consulting, doing graphic recording and facilitation around the world, was traveling. Her mother was hired as her full-time nanny. Like, she paid her mom a salary to watch her kids because she was traveling so much. And she just said, I have to go completely online, which is a totally different audience than your corporate clients were, correct?
100%.
Perfect. So that's where she started. Nadine, this incarnation of your business and what your specialty is helping. Because your new one, literally, you just got your first client. So your most
recent. You mean Printerpiece? Printerpiece is how I eat.
That one's been around. Yeah. That one's been around. I'm talking about the art.
So in 2015, I picked up a paintbrush for the first time. And I was at a wine and paint party. And I had seen Allison paint. Pardon me, on Periscope. And I thought, I can do what she's doing. I could do that. I just know I can. And I just kept watching her. And every now and again, she'd pop on and do her painting. And I'm like, I could do that. And then I did the Share Your Heart, Share Your Work class. And that led, you know, I had so many people that were engaged that it led me to creating online courses, to teach people how to paint intuitively, like step by step. And it also led to me doing the 1111 masterpiece wall, which has literally become a destination, for heaven's sakes.
Will you tell them what that is in case they don't know what that is?
The 1111 masterpiece wall is a 600 square foot mural that I created and painted in Steve Hardison, who was my coach prior to Allison, in his backyard. A series of six murals. I had to think about that. You know, I've been able to, by just keeping being present and helping people learn how to explore their own creativity in their own way. I don't teach people how to paint like I paint. I teach people how to paint how they paint. And I do in-person courses here locally and teach online.
Perfect. And what's your newest one, like your brand new baby?
One of the things that kind of, and I really do think that doing art kind of helped me to get in touch with myself, to understand more about myself, to know myself better. And I have recently lost 59 pounds. And I did that by totally changing my nutrition and working on how I see and feel about myself. Because I feel that it's so much more than food. Like, food is obviously, what I'm eating is a big part of it. However, that isn't what's going to keep me thin. I've already done that a million times. And so what I'm helping people do is get their eating in order. And at the same time, while they get their eating in order, get their spirit in order, the way they see themselves, the way they love themselves. I want to coach them. I'm working to coach them as they go down this path so that they don't, you know, it's like, I realized that, you know, you go to Weight Watchers. I did that. I did Jenny Craig. I did them all. And you go to Weight Watchers and they do these weekly meetings, but no one really teaches you how to love and accept yourself and nurture yourself so that when you do lose the weight, you actually keep it off because you love yourself just way too much to do anything different.
Awesome. Thank you. So what I love about, and I know Nadine and Diane a little bit more, I know where Coach Weller came from, but I want to share just quickly, and then I want to get into the meat. Nadine has a book called, she has a series of books called The Secrets I Share with Friends. And there's one, what is the business version called? What is the version that...
The Secrets I Share with My Friends, Everything I Know About Building a Small Business.
And is that the one that includes your debt situation?
I can't remember if it's in that one or Life Lessons from an Imperfect Woman.
It might be in Life Lessons. I think it's in Life Lessons.
It might be in both. I don't know. I can't remember.
We'll get Nadine to post her books in there because I want y'all to realize this. So first of all, Nadine has 5 children. She has paid off $2
million. $1.3 million.
$1.3 million.
Which...
same thing, right? Like, I want you to realize that Nadine and Diane and Coach Weller are just like you. They are not machines. They are heart-centered people. They are human beings. And things happen in life that knock the wind out from under them. Nadine has shared on our life calls. She's in the life only group. And so she's honoring us with her presence too. But she has shared having a daughter who has addiction. She has shared about her marriage. She and her partner have been married for a long time, but they were really, y'all are doing much better now, but y'all have really struggled. Diane has had some illness in her family. She has 3 kids. She had built up an entire company with her previous husband, and that all went to shit after the divorce. A couple of years ago, or last year, your husband got really sick. Like, you've had a lot of things. You have 3 kids at home. 2 of them are still little. One of them is like preteen getting up there. And Coach Weller has a wife and cats and horses. And I know what his drama is, but I remember meeting him last year and it literally was, he's had all this high achievement, but he wiped the slate clean and was starting again. So I just want y'all to realize that they're human beings with human problems, okay? And a lot of times we're not seeing that. And so no matter what you're going through or what you think your excuse is, I have kids, I don't have time, I'm broke, I'm out of money, my husband is sick and dying in the hospital, it is possible to do both and. Would you agree, my 3 experts? Anything specific Definitely. You want to say about the mindset when the shit is falling apart and you're building your business?
Mine would be grace. Give yourself grace. Give yourself the space to be able to understand that life's a shit show. Mm-hmm. And it's okay that you're in the middle of it because it's your life. And communication solves 90% of our problems. The 10% is the willingness to open our mouth.
Awesome. Thank you. Nadine or Diane, have anything to say about that?
You know, when I started Printer Bees in 2009, Printer Bees does about, I'm shooting for $1 million a year in revenue. And I'm pretty close. And when I started Printer Bees, I was $1.3 million in debt. I didn't have any money. I was in line at the food bank. Literally, that's how broke I was. I was in line at the food bank to feed my kids. And my husband and I were in chronic war with one another, partially because he's running around going, Chicken Little, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. And I'm going, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. We just got to focus. We just got to focus. And he thought I was out of my mind for starting a real estate print marketing company in the middle of a real estate meltdown, market meltdown, but I did it. And I never stopped believing that it could be. I just kept believing that it could be. And I never, ever, ever gave up. I just kept powering through. And I don't want to use the word fighting for it because I think that just adds the wrong kind of energy. But I literally refused to give up. And I've had so many different things happen as I built this business up. So many.
That's what we call being a decider. Hashtag be a decider. I'm a decider, right? So that is the first thing I would write down too. Be a decider. That nothing, because life will happen, but that nothing will get in your way. And number two, you will be gracious with yourself when it does. So I think this is cool to go into Diane too, because one of the things I see Diane do, so like right now, Diane is on the front lines waving and doing and doing and doing. And when it has called for it, I have seen her go into the cave of her family and say, I will be back. Y'all have plenty of shit that I've, she doesn't cuss like I do, but she'd say, y'all have plenty of stuff that I have created. I will be back when everything's okay. So Diane, do you want to speak to how you keep going and keep building and growing when devastation hits your family?
Yeah, I mean, I think family first is always a priority. So if I need to step back, I will step back, and I will step back in a heartbeat, and I will burn things to the ground if I need to just say, I'm going to leave all of Twitter behind. I'm going to leave all of Instagram behind. I'm going to leave all of this behind because I need to be with my family. And then I think the other thing is that this calling is bigger than me, and I'm just acting in service of the calling, because the calling is telling me what to do. And like, that's from the very beginning. Like, when I was a single mom and traveling 60 cities a year, and I had my mother as well as multiple other family members, an aunt and a sister, on full-time payroll, like $9,000 to $10,000 a month was just to cover my childcare for my children, because I had to be gone 5 days a week. Like, that's not cheap to pay for that. So, and I had all the debt that I took out of my divorce, and I just was like, really? I am supposed to build the Doodle Institute? Like, are you sure, universe? Like, okay, this is what we're going to do. But like, I just kept getting the message of like, just keep building this. So I think listening to the divine, and then, you know, always put my family first.
Mm, I love that. And thank you for acknowledging the debt too, because that's one of the things I really want to get across. Well, these are human stories with people who have a similar version to what you have. She didn't have the money to do it. So this was my next question. What was your biggest financial risk or investment when you had no money in your business? Diane, go ahead.
So I want to explain the debt too. So I took on the debt when I took the divorce, because it was business debt. We had a company we ran together, and I didn't want that debt to come back and bite me later because my ex didn't pay it. So I took on the deep responsibility of I would rather own the debt 100% right out than have this come back 10 and 12 years later when I've maybe rebuilt and then I'm hit with it again in the face. So that's where I took that on. And I took that responsibility on very seriously, and I needed to just get to work. And then what was the question? I forgot. What's the second
one? What was the biggest financial risk when you thought you couldn't afford it?
Yeah. So
you're investing in yourself. Yeah. Yeah, betting on yourself.
Yeah. So imagine this. Here I am, single mom, $120,000 worth of debt. I've got all this stuff. And I go to all my family who are in my business, invested in my business. I own all their payroll. And I say, okay, so I'm going to invest in a $10,000 coaching program with Allison Crowe. Y'all good with that? Because if you're not, too bad. And the reason I did that is I could either go to therapy and dwindle all that money away in a bunch of therapy sessions, and I didn't want to do that. I wanted to rebuild myself. I wanted to invest 100% myself, and I wanted to be surrounded by people who were willing to invest that much in themselves as well, because they had to be some really kicking people, and I wanted to be in their presence while I was rebuilding myself. And so I took a huge leap, and it was the best thing I ever did. I mean, I came out of it completely, utterly transformed. And it wasn't because of Allison Crowe specifically. It was because I invested in myself and I believed in myself and that I was worthy of this type of work and transformation, and that it would be what would help me to really get clear on who I was. It wasn't about branding and messaging. It was about who was Diane, who's had many last names. So, but who was Diane, right? So that was my biggest and best investment.
Thank you. I didn't realize you were going to say that. And y'all, that was an inner work program. It was not a business building program at all. So thank you for that. Coach Weller, what was yours?
Can you rephrase that question? Because the way Diane answered it caused my brain to drift to a different story, and I want to make sure we stay on the question.
Yeah. So when you think like a CEO, even if you're solopreneur, I'm working on really putting on, I'm a person, but I also run a business. And so I found that thinking like a business owner, and a lot of times us as persons freak out about, somebody already said it, like, as someone who's been trying to build this on a shoestring, I'm so fearful is debt. Well, you know, Amazon was not a profitable company for the first 15 years of the company, right? So my question is, what, when you couldn't afford it, was the biggest financial risk that you took betting on yourself?
The biggest financial risk was knowing that if I stayed the course, I would get it done. And what was the shoestring? So for me, knowing my numbers and knowing where every penny and every dime and every nickel went to on just not just a monthly basis or weekly basis, daily and annual, I set up two budgets, one of what I wanted it to look like 2 to 5 years down the road. Like, if I was making all the money that I wanted to make, how much would I spend on stuff? And then I figured out the percentage of that and dialed it down. Which, so this year is on target for $120,000 for the coaching business. So my target goal was $360,000. So currently I'm spending one third of what I want to on several things. The other thing, there's two ways to make money with it. One is keep your expenses as low and then make more money. And I got to the point where I realized if I just had one powerful conversation every day, that the money would show up. And it didn't matter if it was a powerful conversation, it just needed to impact somebody's world. And then I started managing my time the same way that I manage my money. So I looked at it every day so I could feel the pain of what the debt was so that I didn't spend the extras. So being a tech guy, when something new comes out, I want it. I desire it. It's $200 to $500, $1,000 bucks. I would put it in the budget. And when that envelope or that bucket got large enough to purchase it, I started running a profit first model and saying, maybe tomorrow. Like, how long can we get this thing to stretch before I need it in my business? Just because I want it doesn't mean that I should spend the money. And if you can delay spending that dollar 10 or 15 days, it adds up over time. And that's where I found the extra money to build my business.
Awesome. So you did the investment in highly, highly aware of every penny and time on task.
Because I wanted a relationship business, and I don't get relationships by advertising, so I knew that's not what I wanted.
Awesome. Thank you. Nadine?
I would have to say that, you know, I started Printeries with $100 and not even $100. And I bought a domain name. I bought a web hosting and business cards. Those were the three things that I knew I needed to get started. So, I too did not advertise. It was just all about building relationships. I bootstrapped the whole thing. I never, ever, ever borrowed one penny. I have not borrowed one penny. We are a full cash business. When our vendors offer us terms, we turn them down. I have an aversion. Like, I am like allergic to debt. I just don't want it in my life. It caused me, and I'm not, it's, and that's, I'm talking about for me.
Yeah, your personal.
That's not a judgment. Yeah, that's not a judgment towards anyone else. I had so much stress and angst in my life from all of that debt that I just refused to go down that path again. And so I would not spend a dollar until I made a dollar, or until actually I made two. And what I did that I think was very, I think it has a lot to do with how I've been able to keep growing and growing and growing and growing, is I put myself on payroll immediately. And when I say I put myself on payroll, I have an automatic deposit that goes into from my business account to my personal account every week that is my payroll. And that started with, I was making 10 cents an hour. And the very minute that I could transfer on an automatic $5 a week as my payroll, I set up an automatic transfer $5 a week. And then as I started to gain more traction and I could see that my bank account in my business was growing a little bit more and was consistent, I gave myself a raise to $10 a week. Then I just kept bumping it up every week. As I started to gain more traction, I just kept giving myself raises. Mm-hmm. I've never had to back it off, not one time. I'm very, very conservative. I'm very financially conservative. And when I did finally, buy something significant for my business, the first thing I purchased was a computer. Because I look at what is essential for my business. What can I not live without? And what is it that I can live without? And if I can live without it, I typically am like, I really don't need that. Need versus want. And I'm just all about need. Beautiful. That's what I focus on.
Thank you. Okay. So now we're going to switch into, I just wanted to get a little bit of background. We're going to switch into going from zero to those first clients. What did you do to get your first client? So I'm just going to go in the same order. We'll go Nadine, Peter, or we'll go Diane, Peter, Nadine. So Diane, when you made this decision, what were the first things that you did and how did you first get your clients?
So when I made the decision to build the Doodle Institute, the first thing I did was I set up a studio space in my home, which was a little 3-bedroom house that I was renting, and there was a loft room. So I set up a space that would normally be like a kid's play space for a recording studio. And so that was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. Like, that's the first thing I did. And I actually, like, so I made choices. Like, I hired a designer to actually help me design the space because I really wanted the space to look really good. And she was about $1,200. And we actually printed out some of my artwork, which I never thought to print my own artwork in the space. And I showed her my iPad. So, like, I surrounded myself with this beautiful space for preparing to go online. I didn't have an online platform or anything like I have with Kajabi now. I started with YouTube videos, and I started with small free online workshops. You know, I was just doing webinars back then. There wasn't a Zoom and things like this. And I had already built some online classes with my ex-husband, but I was starting totally new with a totally different audience because the Doodle Institute was not for my current work at that time. So I invested in some technology, I invested in a space, and then I invested in how to sell the courses. So I was actually coding my own online environments, and I was using one shopping cart. I've used Infusionsoft, which was Confusionsoft, and I actually had to get a company to come out and approve me to take credit cards. So they had to see my little loft space to show that I was running a business, and I had to be able to close the door, and I wasn't able to close the door. So I actually had to move my business from the loft space to another bedroom where I could close the door so that when they came to approve it, it was a closed door and it was a closed space for all that. So I'm just showing, like, I was like plugging holes for whatever I needed to be able to take credit cards, to be able to take the environment and how to pull it all together. Cause again, like, there were all these different platforms in place that I was piecing together to make an online learning environment. And so I was investing in like $99 a month programs here and $99 a month programs there, but I was actually laying the foundation and I was willing to pay for all that, but I did not, and I still don't have a business credit card. Once I got out of that marriage and I had that debt, I never took on another business credit card. So I would have to go out and earn the cash and work on the road or do whatever I needed to do to have the cash to be able to lay the foundation. And so I was willing to work extra hard to have the extra cash to know that I needed it in place to build the foundation. So those are some
of those money projects. So I did the same thing. I would graphic record, which was very hard on my body, very hard on travel. But I would, if I needed the extra money, I would do it. I babysat. I often mowed lawns. I painted $25 paintings, right? So you may not have a business to go back to that you can do. Like, if Diane needed to step her toe in the corporate world, she could. But the other thing is we're all willing to do. So that's the other thing. I when I was doing this, I have a blog post somewhere of the things I was willing to do. And everything I sold my clothes, I sold my purses, I sold shoes for $5, make you holla, garage sale. Like, I found money in cars, under couch sofas, right? So awesome, Diane. And then real quick, so you've switched over to Kajabi, we'll get that now. But if you, well, no, we'll go to Peter. No.
I have one other tiny thing. So how did I find the people, right? So it was how did I find the students? So I invested in South by Southwest, EDU, which is a conference in Austin, Texas. And I had a booth there. My mom and I were just talking about, my mom and I worked the booth. I bought IKEA little tables and little chairs, and I printed out these little booklets, and I made my own chapstick, which I still have hundreds of. It was the best chapstick ever. And it had Discovery Doodles on it. And I printed 2 pop-up banners to go behind me. And I quilted aprons because I wanted to look really cute. And I worked South by Southwest, EDU, because I couldn't get into South by Southwest like I could before with my other reputation because one of my colleagues had taken my lead. And so I went into the education route, and I was on the floor for 2 days, and I signed up anybody and everybody that came past, and I offered them the first free course. And then I offered them who invite 10 of their friends to the first free course as well. And so people from around the world were at South by Southwest, and then they were able to gift other people into the program. So that's how I grew the first list. And I signed up 750 people that weekend.
Fucking A. What was your first free course?
My first free course was Sketchbook Basics.
Okay. I want y'all to listen. So this is my summary of this. She built a list and she did whatever it took, and she gave value, right? So she gave value. So when she's making videos, instead of setting up a recording studio, she's recording something of value. She's taking the knowledge that she has and giving it for free to people. And then she went hardcore. So you can do that online. But she found a place to go in person and be of service. And then said, by the way, bring 10 of your friends. That is list building. And sometimes we're so afraid of it. But thank you. That is, I love it. Very good. Thank you. I just want y'all to see in this, like, there's so many possibles. How many of you have never thought of doing something like that? Never, right? Ah, I love it. Okay, Peter, you're up. I'm gonna still listen. I just gotta fill my water, but I got your volume turned on.
You know what Diane just said is, as far as building a list, that's worth the price of admission today and for the rest of the year. That is the key. So what I did to build my business is I took Allison Crow and I took Hank's advice of 96 or 100 phone calls and do them absolutely free. Now it's, where do you find those? So I went stalking people on Facebook. Yep. Good old fashioned creeper style. Like, who do I want to be in business with? And Hank, National Coaching League has something called 50, 20, 5, and 1. So 50 high fives a day, 20 interactions, 5 private messages or phone calls, text messages, and 1 powerful conversation. It's free. You already have the internet and Facebook, and now we're stalking people that we want to be in business with. So using a friends list, which is still list building, who are the people that I want to be in business with? Realtors and real estate agents. Yes, I use an A in realtor. So if that bothers you, because I'm awesome, right? We're looking for awesome realtors. So I add the A just to be a little different. In that process, it was building the list, finding the clients that I wanted to work with. And the more I got that dialed in, the more I realized that the people and the friends that were showing up at the coach's retreat, they were my clients. So then I had to open my mouth and say, how do I earn your business? And when I realized all of them suffered from technology issue and I was really good at it, Allison helped me connect the dots, like, dude, what are you doing? And we put the offering out, and within 90 days, we were at our nut to crack. And then going back to the cash problem, sometimes I don't believe any of us have a cash making or an income problem. We have a cash flow challenge. And that's something that as a group or as a collective, we've talked about. How do you solve your cash flow problem? Because sometimes you just need 3 or 4 days before that next check shows up. So it's do whatever it takes. And then for me, it was DTFW. And Allison, I'll let you translate it because I'm not in the mood to say the word today. Yeah. DTFW.
Do whatever the fuck it takes.
Yeah.
DTF. Do whatever the fuck works.
Yeah, do the fucking work.
Oh, do the fucking work. Sorry.
Just do the fucking work. Nobody likes doing the work, yet it's the work. It's like laundry. Every single day there's laundry, you still get it done. So it's part of the routine.
So the other, from the outside perspective, I was invited to go teach at Hank's retreat. I had no idea that I would come home with half the room enrolling in my clients. I wasn't thinking that way. I was honored to be paid to go teach coaching. I love it. It was realtors. I was warming to realtors. And I got to ride with Peter Weller from the airport. And Peter was new to this whole group of people. There were some that we had known each other, and he was new to this group of people. And I don't know if there was a thing of like, you know, you're kind of under review if we want to take you in the wings or whatever like that. But I watched Peter going from, I'd like to be a member and a valuable member of this community and I can help you, to being one of Hank's first three certified coaches and massive leader. How many of you have had a session with Peter? I know Jody Garcia has sprang your, I've had a couple of sessions with you about my finances, my P&L, my numbers. Jody Garcia is raving about you. I got another message from another friend that I'm not actually close with now. And she's like, do you know Peter Weller? And he seems on the up and up. I just had a session with him. Amazing.
Yeah, and do your calls. So that never stops, right?
Do your calls. What does that sound like to you? Because a lot of these people, realtors know what that is. But what does that literally sound like as a coach? When you say do your calls, be very concrete with what you would. So you did 20, 50, 5, 1, or 50, 25, 5, 1.
So for me, it was one powerful conversation a day. Embracing my heart, embracing my empath gift, and knowing when the energy came out of my body and touched the other person's body, or they had the conversation where their energy came out and touched me to do a little bit better, to make an impact on the world, and to change our finances, because when there's more money, that financial piece matters. And like the 96 calls or the spiral notebook challenge that you talk about, find one person to have that conversation, a coaching conversation with. And what does coaching look like to you? Doesn't matter. Just reach out and have the conversation, because as you go, one page is what did I learn about myself? And the other page is what did we talk about? And whatever you learned about yourself, work on it.
One of the ways I know Peter reached out to me for help is, I don't know, you know, y'all know I talk about my money stuff, my behind the scenes, and this is literally the script. Would you like help with that? I just had a girl in this new group. One of the things we say is a challenge we have. I talk about challenge of handing some marketing off. And she says, I would love to hop on the phone with you and see if I can help you. I don't care if it's paid or not. The first one usually isn't paid. And she's like, whether or not my agency works for you, let me see if I can just help you get a vision for it. Immediately I sign up. So a lot of you are wondering, you know, how do I get these calls? When you're paying attention and listening to other people with your heart, and inside you go, oh, I can help with that. Would you like help with that? Would you like help with that? Right? Awesome, Peter. Thank you. All right, Nadine.
So let's just making a note. Go ahead.
Let's take your keto coaching business, because you just got your first client. So how did you go from goose egg to getting your very first client?
I have all these notes.
This is really good. I'm gonna
about printer bees.
Get y'all's permission to put this on the podcast. This is really valuable.
I have every single business that I have ever started, and I've had many, and they've been very successful. I start with the quote that I learned from Zig Ziglar, and it basically goes, people don't care. This is not his quote. I can't think of what it is right now, but it's basically, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That is not the quote. I can't think of the exact quote. But I've always known that I need to show up in service. And everything I do and every way I've ever showed up in business is by showing up in service. And if I can't be helpful, then what am I doing? If I'm not serving my client, whoever that is, in some way, shape, or form, what is the point? And so if it is not me showing up in service of someone else, then it's not for me. With my, I'm calling my business From Hope to Healthy. And it's From Hope to Healthy Wellness Coaching. And, you know, because this is a business call, it is not keto coaching, because keto could be a fad. Yeah. And I think that it's important when we look at our business model and what we're doing and where we're headed is, are you in a fad, and how do you fad proof your business? And so, that's why mine is called Wellness Coaching.
Thank you.
Because I really do want to help people get healthy. And the way that I can help them get healthy is to keep showing up in service. So I've shared my story. I know I am not alone in struggling with what I see when I look in the mirror. I know I'm not alone in the dysmorphia that I experience every day. When I look in the mirror, I still see a fat person, even though I'm not fat anymore. And because I know of the torture, because it's torture. It's a daily torture. It was for me, being so overweight. And I know the steps I took to fix it after so many attempts. And so I have just keep sharing. I just keep sharing. This is what I did. This is what I did. This is how I did it. And I just keep sharing. And this lady, Christy, she was actually in another Facebook group. And I'm not about going into other Facebook groups and taking people's clients. I don't do that. But she was so desperate for help. She said, can I please friend request you? That is how she met me, was in another Facebook group because she was having a problem. And I answered her question. I just keep showing up. And I have Keto Bootcamp for Beginners, which is, we just crossed 500 member mark. I just started it in December. It's rather new. It's a matter of seeing the need, knowing you have the expertise to solve that need. Just like Peter said, realtors, God bless you all. I would not be in business without you. But y'all are the most technology challenged group of people I've ever met in my life. And Peter is onto something with that. And it's not an insult by any stretch of the imagination. I built my whole Printerbees business based on knowing that realtors are extremely technology challenged. And because we have filled a need, we're willing, when people order business cards, we'll hold their hand. We will hold your hand the entire process, because it's just technology challenged group of people. And so we hold their hand in every way, shape, or form we can. And it's the same thing with the, you know, From Hope to Healthy Wellness Coaching. I am willing to hold your hand. I'm willing to show you how to do it yourself, to empower you how to do it yourself. I am, you know, like Allison said in our coaching call last week, I'm not there to hold anyone accountable. And I've been working with Allison for 4 years, and was one of the first things she said to me is, I'm not here to hold you accountable. That's on you to hold yourself accountable. I'll work with you so you learn how to, you know, hold yourself. It's like meeting that need. It's just all about showing up in service and consistency. Consistency, consistency, consistency.
So this is my next question. I love this, because y'all tapped on this. What is the most boring, consistent task that actually gets you big results? So I have this saying of, like, are you willing to be bored? All of you, we need to be willing to be bored. And it's usually the boring daily task. So Diane.
Yeah, it's called Financial Friday. I do it every Friday. I open my books. I print out my statement. I look at my stuff. I do my invoicing. I call on my invoicing to make sure that it's all still being paid. Because I still do, I mean, I have a lot of revenue streams, and one of them is still working with corporate clients and making videos and e-learning programs for them. And so it's very tedious, and I'm still the financial person who tracks all of it. So I have Financial Friday, and then I have Motivational Monday, and I even did it today. So I meet with my virtual assistant Monday mornings at 9 a.m. regardless. rain, shine, whatever. And we have a Trello that has every project and every task. And we go through our Trello and we look at all of our projects. And so I start Mondays with full visibility into my business. And I end every Friday with my finances and where I am. And I track my hours every day in my 17 hats so that I don't forget my billable hours. And I have my team, because I have editors and writers and other people submit their hours every Friday. And I still look at it all because I still like that visibility in my business, and I don't want to hand that over to someone else. And I play a game. I have to be billable 50% of my day creative and 50% of my day business-wise. And if it doesn't happen daily, it happens weekly. So I have a set number of hours that I want to hit that are creative or business. And I found that a 50-50 split means that I have a really good week. If it's ever too much business, it's not that great. If it's ever too much creative, it's not that great. So I play a game, and I've said that in my group, like I have a game in my planner where I write down my hours and I write down my billable hours every week. And I love setting a number of like, I want $15,000 of billable income minimum. And then I like to hit that number as fast as I can and blow past it. And so I play the numbers game. And
did you play the numbers game when you were just starting?
I started playing the numbers game more probably the last 2 years as all the debt was paying off, because there's still a dailiness of it all. So I did the numbers game a lot in the beginning, but I do the numbers game a lot more the last 2 years because it's still a long haul. And it's a numbers game for like, how much am I hitting my college funds? How much am I hitting this? Like, it's a numbers game of how much can I bump up auto pays into the college funds, and how much can I, like, it's all
I love that.
Numbers game.
Monday motivation and starting with visibility too. So you get your plan and then you get visible, and then ending. I used to do that too. On Fridays was my money appointment with myself to look at my, and Friday is still my money appointment with myself, except for yesterday I had a really big income day and I'm so tempted to move it all over, but I was like, nope, wait till Friday. On Friday, you move things on Friday. And I do all my numbers and I switch every single Friday. I put stuff in my different accounts and stuff like that. Oh my gosh, I love this. So excited. My boobies are even excited. Okay. Speaking of boobies, Coach Weller, what is your most boring, critical task that give you big results?
My morning bookend is what I refer to it as. I learned about the morning bookend in a book called The Compound Effect. Mm-hmm. And it's also got an evening bookend. So every morning I look at the finances. I look at where my personal relationships are. Who do I need to pour into? Who do I need to receive love from that day? I look at my physical energy, making sure that I move my body, get my heart rate up, which engages the brain. Movement creates movement. I read a book. It can be audible or it can be a paper book. And then I spend some time in my spiritual world. So I follow that daily. And when I do my morning bookend, all of my tasks and conversations become easier. And then it's the 50, 25, and one. I play a game with myself. How fast can I get it done? And how do I make sure that I'm setting myself up for one new conversation? So in this group, I've noticed when I talk who nods their head and who pays attention. And during that time process, they've received Facebook messages to set up an appointment. So be involved, be engaged, pay attention to what's going on in your world, because the people that get you at your vibration level naturally will have that conversation. So just pay attention to your world and do your shit. It's boring. Show up, pay attention, and engage.
I love that. Thank you. Okay, Nadine.
There is nothing on earth that is more tedious and boring, well, to me, than doing keyword research and coding in HTML. It's torture. For a gal like me, it's torture. I'm an extrovert. I'm not, you know, I can be really nerdy. I'm super nerdy. But I'm also very much an extrovert. And, you know, one of the things that Peter has talked about is, you know, doing the work and making the phone calls and making the connections. And this is going to sound really weird coming from me, but I was so burned out and tired of smiling and dialing, is what I used to call it when I was in my 20s. You know, I got my sales career start as in telemarketing. We called it telesales, not telemarketing. And that was what I did from the time I was 20 to 29. And I was making 60 to 100 phone calls every day. I got so burned out on making phone calls that when I started these, I do have my phone on do not disturb. I don't know how that got through. So she called me again. I said, if I have to make one more phone call, I'm going to shoot myself. And so I took to educating myself on search engine optimization. And I decided that my approach to my business was going to be, how do I get people to call me? I just wanted people to call me. And so I focused all my attention on keyword research and coding my website so that Google would do my cold calling for me. And literally, that's how PrinterViews got on the map, is I got to page one for Keller Williams business cards. I got to page one for Century 21 business cards. I got to page one for ACN business cards. I don't know if you remember ACN. I just kept focusing on how do I get to page one for these terms that are going to help people find me, because I do not want to pick up that damn phone and call anyone anymore. I'm tired of it.
So let me pause.
So
so she has a personality style. Those of you that are familiar with DISC. So her personality style is high D, high I. So she is a driver and an influencer, the social part of her. And she made herself be what we call a C, which is calculating and detailed, to fulfill her dreams. So what I love about this that I want to pull out is she is not using her personality as an excuse to not go after what she wants. That's why she said, this is, y'all are going to laugh, this is weird for me to be doing SEO research. That's not in her DNA, but she effing did it because what she wanted mattered.
Oh, it's torture.
I think that's huge.
And I made it a game, just like,
to go, oh, that's not me. I've got to find another way. You don't have to do it every day now. Right?
I don't do it anymore at all, honestly.
Right.
It really was torture. Yeah. And the other thing, and you know, going back to what Diane and Peter were both saying about making it a game is because I'm very challenged to sit and do these tedious things. It just is not my personality at all. And so, you know, email marketing, I understood from my career my background is in corporate America. And when I was 29, I got laid off and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go do my own thing. And I've been an entrepreneur since then. But I did learn about marketing automation at a very, you know, this is in 1996. So that was when I lost my job. So that's how far back it was. But I did understand the need for marketing automation. And I was on a hunt continually for the right marketing automation that would help me stay in touch with people. And so I found Infusionsoft. And I think Stacy asked me about how did I meet Steve before or after. I met Steve in the parking garage at the Infusionsoft conference, because I actually won an award for being a power Infusionsoft user. And the way I built my business with Infusionsoft changed my life because I was able to automate. I sat and looked at what is it that requires my personal attention? What is it that requires the personal attention of the people who work for me? And where in my business are these tasks that have to be done, which are repetitive, and it's the same answer over and over and over? Where is that? Where's the difference? And I put Infusionsoft to work as my assistant. Infusionsoft is my assistant. Infusionsoft sends all the emails out. Infusionsoft does everything that does not require our personal voice attention. If it can be done through Infusionsoft, it is done through Infusionsoft. We automate everything that does not require we touch it. And that took a lot of work. It was very monotonous. But it also grew my business, and I'm not exaggerating, 4,000%. No exaggeration, because we automated everything.
You followed up on leads, you followed up on questions.
There was not one lead my leads all went into a dark hole. Mm-hmm. I spent time at networking events. I was doing, I would go to a lot of communities have the realtors do their marketing meetings once a week. I was at those marketing meetings. I was making contacts. I was collecting business cards. I was doing all this stuff. And then it would just sit on my desk and go into a dark hole because I was tired of making phone calls. Mm-hmm. And so once I got Infusionsoft to work for me, literally work for me, I would enter the data into Infusionsoft and Infusionsoft would kick an email out. But I spent, hours and tedious amounts of time structuring which email goes out first, what email goes after that. It's like, and I really put a lot of time into what does my audience need from me? As I'm doing these tedious and monotonous tasks, what does my audience need from me?
So you're remembering your service to them over the task.
Yes.
And the heart. You also realize that when you get overwhelmed in the task, I know some of you are building your Kajabi sites. This is another example too. You can have y'all, Coach Weller and Diane are Kajabi. Nadine is Infusionsoft. I am Entreport.
Yeah.
And my own.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. So whatever it is, but when you're sitting down to do that tedious work, and it is tedious or expensive, but you're doing that, you're remembering that you're doing it in service of them.
Yeah. I don't automate. And I really want to tack onto that. We did not automate so that we couldn't serve our clients. We automated so we could, because yeah. We were dropping balls everywhere. I was dropping balls everywhere because I don't have the best follow-up. And I think it's really, imperative to look at what am I good at and where are my superpowers and my talents and where is it that I just really suck? Where, because then you got to compensate for that. Like wherever I suck at follow-up. I'm not good at it. Nicole is phenomenal at it. So she does all the follow-up. Infusionsoft does all the follow-up. I'm good at problem solving. I'm good at the creativity. I'm good at being the driver. I'm good at figuring out how to work Infusionsoft and how to make it follow up on every lead that ever came in. But other things I'm not so good at. And I delegate anything and everything I am not good at.
Did you do that when you were new? When you were
first? Yes. Well, anything and everything I could. It's the very second that I could delegate something and had the funds to be able to delegate it, I got rid of it. I do not entertain doing things in my business and in my life that do not feed my aliveness. I just don't. I spent way too many years doing things that, felt like torture. My time on this earth is limited.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. We've got 30 more minutes. I have a couple more questions I want to ask. This one is about mindset. What has been in the newest incarnation of your business, what has been the biggest mindset monster and how did you tame it?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
Okay. So we've been talking about a lot of functional things. My belief is that 90% of this is mindset, because when we align our mindset, then we do the work. Only my doubt ever stops me only my thought, I can't hand this off to somebody else, keeps me from hiring somebody to automate something, right? Only my thought sits down and goes, I don't know how to do this. Only my thought says, I don't want to be visible or I don't have anything to give. So that's why I say, I'm really working on teaching you guys, math problems aren't personal. Like we are so addicted to making them, taking them personally. And it's just math. Right, that was one of the hearts I made. Learn to love math again. And we don't even have to do algebra. It's literally simple math. And then on the other set is the mindset. My mentor called it drama, but I don't like to, it's just mindset. And so I want to know, knowing that running your own business and starting a business and starting over is a huge personal, emotional task outside of the functional. So what was the biggest mindset obstacle and how did you overcome it or tame it? So Diane?
So if we go back to the very beginning when everything was really hitting the fan for me, one of the first mindsets was when I had big feelings because I was going through a divorce. I had moved across country. I lost literally everything. I packed 3 garbage bags and $60 in my passport and drove across state lines with my kids to start over. And then my car got totaled within the first 60 days, my only possession. I was like, okay, I'm going to have to cry, but I'm going to set a timer and I'm going to do it in my closet. And then whenever I'm done, I'm done. And I'm going to get my butt back to work. So I think that that saved me because every morning I took my kids to school and to daycare and I still do. I'm like, mommy's got to get to work. And so like, I just have a mindset of like, my day starts off getting to work. Like I don't think of like, I'm going to take the day off or anything like that. Like I write down 3 important things that move my business forward. These are not to-do items. These are not tasks. These are not things that my clients have asked me to do because my client is expecting me to do them. These are 3 things that move what I want my business to be forward.
Can you give me an example?
So like an example is if I'm starting this new Kajabi course that I just did, like record a new Kajabi video, write the new PDF for it. So those are things that are moving my business forward. They're not like finish editing for my client or reach out to XYZ student that needs a refund. These are things that are like big picture things that I know move my whole business forward. So like right now I'm starting a whole new podcast video series and I'm writing on it. So I'm writing like crazy. Like I'm writing. So
you're creating your value for your clients. You're creating content.
Right. Okay. But things that are big picture, I do 3 of them a day that move the big picture forward. Whether it's like on the plane yesterday, I outlined the structure of these new posts. And then I've hired a writer. I'm not writing my content anymore, a lot of it. I have writers that help me. So I do my brain dump and then they do all the cleaning and the polishing up of it. And I love it.
I'm not sure that one.
His name is Connor and I love him. And I got him through People Per Hour and I pay him like $12 an hour and he's
awesome.
And he writes just like me.
Yeah, that's what I need.
I love. So 3 things and set a timer. And like, I don't get to like, I get dressed every day. I put my shoes on every day. I make my bed every day and I get my booty to work. Like I just get to work. I work every day. I don't take a lot of days off. And even right now I'm supposed to be on vacation and I'm creating work for myself because like I do better whenever I'm working. I don't know if that makes any sense or anything.
It makes perfect sense. And you also like show up to your kids' events. You guys do take
Thursdays.
Shut that stuff down, right? So just because I don't want y'all here thinking that CEO mama is neglecting
her
5-year-old boy.
No.
I want you realizing that she really is doing both and. But you're very committed and get a lot of you bring your kids into work a lot. Your kids have been in all your videos.
Yeah.
You have like you just let that be.
So I typically work 9 to 3 every day. Thursdays I end at 2 because it's ballet day, and I spend 5 hours as the Uber driving everyone to their ballet class, wherever they need to go. And I love that flexibility. And like even last night, I'm in the major of editing a huge video for a president of a company right now. And I did a work cycle from 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. this morning. And I did a work cycle last night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. because there are times when I have to do a bonus work cycle, and I think of it as a gift. I have a gift of doing a bonus work cycle today. And there are times whenever I have to do it. And there are times whenever I put my head down and I work like mad. But in terms of mindset, like I don't let it, like I play a lot of music. I started showing people that I do a lot of music. I do a lot of like, ain't nobody got time for that kind of talk in my head. I gotta get to work. Ain't nobody got time for that. And I just like, I wake up happy, and I had to like really help my new husband understand this. Like I wake up happy every day. Like I can't help it. There is a part of me that is part Snow White, and I wake up happy, and I am happy to go to work. So.
I love it. Thank you. And I see you as, so this was fun. Diane came on the other day, and she just flew to Houston, and your kids are with their dad for spring break, right?
The two girls are. We've got Jack here.
Okay, you got Jack. So you and your husband are in Houston with family, right? And she was like, I'm going to come to your house. So what I love is that Diane leads with possibility. And then she texted me and said, I'm not going to be able to make it work. I was really trying. No problem. But I love that. I want all of you to begin to think like this. Even if it's not automatic, write it down. What if it were possible? Right? Like, what is possible? Go instead of going, oh, I can't do that. I as the recipient, okay, I'm sorry, I'm yelling. I'm just so excited about this stuff. I want to share it with you guys. But as she was, you know, thinking that we were going to be able to do this together and spend 24 hours playing, and then she'd go back and do whatever, I got really excited. And when she said she couldn't, my heart's not broken at all. I'm just so glad. I was actually very fulfilled by the thought that she would even consider doing it. Versus, I mean, I didn't ask her, she volunteered it. But if I had asked her and she just went, oh no, that's impossible, right? Do you get the two different energies? So I would rather y'all wake up every single day and trip over your possibilities and have to backstep than hold yourself back from possibility. Ooh, love this. Thank you, Diane. I ain't got time for that.
You know, I got time for that. And I really did want to like come down there and see you and all that. Like, I mean, it just like, and it's, I think that, but I think that it's also that contagiousness. Like I do that with my students. I'm like, who wants to build this awesome class with me? Come on, like, let's do it. And I do a lot of stuff for free to begin with, because then it's amazing how it opens up other things that I didn't know was going to be there. So like my Kajabi group right now, serving my tail off there, giving. And I've been getting all these private coaching experiences out of it as well. And those are just as valuable, but I didn't go into it thinking, oh, I'm going to build all this private Kajabi coaching that's going on. So again, I think it's one of those things that like when something drops in my heart, I say it out loud and I just see who wants to show up and play, and I just run with it. So anyway, I know we're running out of time.
No, we're okay. We go to 2:30. I don't know if I mentioned the 90-minute class. Okay, Coach Willer, biggest mindset monster and how you tame it.
It's one of two. And it's the same. So getting out of the frontal lobe, getting into the energy of paying attention of what's going on around me and responding. So for me, that's asking questions. So the biggest mindset for me was to, when somebody asked a question, to ask a clarifying question, to ask another clarifying question, so that my intuition could actually pick up on what they were driving at. When I allowed my intuition to begin to ask the questions and shutting off the frontal lobe of solving the problem, I'm a fixer. I like to fix things. I like to fix people. I like to solve problems. And a lot of times I went to fix a problem and that wasn't the problem. That was the surface level. We needed to get deep to be able to figure it out. So it was learning to trust myself that I wasn't going to do any damage to somebody. And that's a mindset. Like, if I've got all this stuff from doing discovery calls that I'm working on for myself, what gives me the right or the privilege to ask an intuitive question that I'm working on myself? Or I might not have it figured out. Yet what I found is the people and the vibration energy of people that showed up in my world, I was one or two chapters ahead of where they were at, or they were one or two chapters ahead of where I was at for some things that we were doing. So to ask the question, because it's a journey. So the mindset was to not be the expert, just to be.
Be the expert in the marketing, and in the connection, we be the listener and the asker. That's a good distinction too, right? And so as he was talking, like, I learned to listen and I learned to ask and ask more. That's actually what Vanessa was teaching us last month in the business of how to sell when somebody wants it, is you ask them, like, what else? And what will that give you? And what will that give you? And what will that do for you? And so you're actually, in asking those questions, you're actually really hearing your people, which makes the right aligned people say, here's my credit card. How do I pay you? It's true. I love that. Peter, anything else?
Every conversation matters. Every conversation matters. Awesome. Did it go positive? Did it go negative? Did you stay at neutral? And then when you come back across something that you might have breadcrumbs with, you know, did you leave breadcrumbs? Pick them up. Mm-hmm. Figure it out.
Love it. Thank you. Miss Nadine, biggest mindset monster and how you tame it?
I really don't experience a lot of that. I really don't know because this is what I do know. Everything that shows up and challenges me is simply there to teach me something. And it's up to me to show up and be the student of whatever shows up is here to teach me. Now, I would say that my biggest challenges are, like, for instance, my email is still not working on my computer. My email is not working. I have no email from my computer. I can only email from my phone. No matter what I do, I can't fix it. I don't know how to fix it. It's incredibly frustrating. I was in tears last week about it. So those are the sorts of things that mess with me. About 7 years ago, because Printerbees has been in business since 2009, so we're 10 years old. And about 6 or 7 years ago, I'm standing in my friend's kitchen here in Arizona. It was before we moved here, so it was about 7 years ago. And I get a call from Nicole that when you pull up the Printerbees website, it just is a green ghosty face that says, you've been hacked by blah, blah, blah. And when your whole business and everything you do is based on your website, it is literally like someone just came and put a match to your store and burned the whole thing down. So when I run into things like that, that is when I freak the hell out. Because I'm like, am I going to be able to figure out how to fix this before, you know, we start, you know, if we go one day without business, what's that going to do? If we go 2 days without business, what's that going to do to us? And so that's where my scarcity mindset starts to creep in, and I have to invite it out. I would say that's really probably scarcity mindset sometimes. But I don't know. I don't know where I learned not to let things get to me. About, like, when I'm running into challenges, because I run into a lot of them. Maybe it was raising 5 kids.
Well, it might be, but I also, like, so as a client, you were one of the first people to join, and she joined the life only, and she said, I'm good on the business side. Like,
I get overstimulated. It's like I still have so much to learn. And I would say that when I'm dealing with my monkey mind is my ADHD. Right. My ADHD can sometimes just come in and completely take over. And before I know, I have 15 projects going and I'm not doing a good job on any of them. Mm-hmm. And so I have to manage my ADHD and how much energy I allow in. Because when I allow too much in, my mind goes berserk. I have 15 businesses started. But, you know, it's like on one business call with you, I'll have 15 businesses ready to go. And I'm like, I make myself crazy.
Yes. So we often are working on slowing down. In both, yes. We don't work so much on your business anymore, but like when your life stuff hits you. So here's the other thing. She's in a place in her business where when her life stuff hits, she can CTFO and that all the things you have set up or building.
I think that, you know, what if I could, you know, give one piece of like the biggest advice that I could give anyone.
That's actually my final question.
Perfect.
Go for
when it. When you're building your business, imagine it running without you, where you're not necessary. When I started PrinterBees, I started PrinterBees with one thing in mind. And I had and part of the reason is I had a very successful sales coaching business. Like what Allison was saying about, you just got to keep asking questions. People sell themselves when you just shut up and just ask a lot of questions. I was a sales trainer for many years. I trained many, many, many salespeople on how to shut up. Shut up. Ask the questions and shut up. And what I realized in my sales training business, and I'm headed down this path again, is that my dad one day asked me, what happens if you get sick and can't go to work? And I was like, I'm screwed. That's what happens. I'm screwed. And so when I built PrinterBees, with one thing in mind. I didn't want to have to go to work. And I don't. I work maybe 16 hours a week. I make a six-figure income. And I have delegated everything that can be delegated because I didn't want the business to be solely dependent on me. I wanted it to be able to run whether I was healthy or not. And last year, the first 6 months of the year, I literally could barely get out of bed for 6 months because I think I was a diabetic that just wasn't diagnosed. And my body was so sick, I didn't even have the energy to walk from my bedroom to the kitchen. And I live in a one-story house. And I didn't work for almost 6 months. And my business did fine. When I painted the 1111 wall, I was gone at Steve's house 4 days a week. My business kept running fine without me. And I set it up that way on purpose. So
I want to point out something here too, because some of you have family or home relationships where you are supported financially. Some of you have full-time jobs and you're trying to get a coaching business off the ground. And some of you are struggling to pay rent because it is you and you are brand new sucking it. Okay. So I realize that we have a range. And we've had a couple of coaching sessions about people who feel various ways because maybe their partner makes money or, you know, those kind of things. So take Nadine's PrinterBees. That's her money project. It is her business and she cares about it. But with these new projects,
very much so
the art, what it has allowed her. So she has a support machine that she has built that some of you have either built or married or are working at. I don't want you to disparage it. You still nurture it. But what has having that machine allowed you to do with your art courses and now your wellness projects?
It gives me the freedom. Like I work on PrinterBees on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Nicole knows that Tuesdays and Thursdays are my PrinterBees work days. And so on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the other thing that Diane said that is imperative is you got to get up and go to work every day. Just like Diane, I get up every day. I didn't used to get dressed when I felt really crappy about myself, but now I get up, I get dressed, I put my face on, and I'm talking half the time I don't leave the house and I'm walking around the house in high heels.
Yep.
Because I feel better. Mm-hmm. And so it's that routine of every day going to work. And so Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the way my schedule is right now, I have the flexibility to study, to read, to, you know, serve people in my Facebook group, to network, to do all of those things so that I can grow it. Like, I'm just in the building relationship stages right now. I'm just planting seeds and I'm going to build me a nice crop.
Well, that's what I wanted to bring that to attention.
In service.
We have had a few calls of people who either have Kara's got a full-time job and she's working on building the relationships. Yeah. And just about her first offering of the Girlfriend Voice. She is not here today, but Flory spoke. I don't want to speak because I want to use this as a podcast. But Flory shared a personal situation where, you know, it's like it when you have support out sometime, you can have the mentality is that I don't have to get anything done. But what if you saw it as, wow, I actually have some financial support here. How much fun can I have doing this? Right? Instead of wasting your desire.
I wish I had financial support. I mean, I do, but I wish that I had that safety net when I was building business. Maybe I would have turned out different if I didn't have this, you know,
well,
if I did have the safety
perfect.
Net.
And
it all
even
did.
If you don't work in Printerbees, it provides the ability for you to create the art. It provides you, and if Printerbees went away, I have no doubt that you would turn the art and the wellness coaching to the same thing.
You okay. have to be willing, and you've got to be willing and realize that we can all reinvent ourselves
yes.
easily. I've done it so many times.
Yeah, awesome. All right, Diane, what is the biggest piece of advice for newer people that you have in launch or growth phase?
So I have two little bits. One is, I believe in drawing it out. I believe in writing it down. I believe in saying those positive affirmations of money you're going to attract. One of my favorite things with Alison Krow, whenever I went to her house one time at the very beginning when I was deciding all this, is she had this little stack of fake little $1 million bills. And she was like, what would it be like to just put $1 million? And she goes, here, look, I'm going to give you two. Here's $2 million. I still have those $2 million. You're in my sacred space in my home. They're in my little place where I still go and I sit and I think through, like, what is my life going to be like? I write fake little checks to myself all the time of $1 million given to me by love from the universe. I have mind movies that I watch. Mm-hmm. So I'm winning an Oscar. I don't know why, but I'm going to because it's in my mind movie and I watch it every morning. I'm hoping it's for Quilts, Tacos, and Tattoos, the novel I wrote that maybe Reese Witherspoon will direct one day. But like, I throw those intentions out there. Like, if I see myself speaking on stage, I find a photograph of someone speaking on stage. So I have a mind movie that says, I am healthy, I am loving, I'm a great speaker, I win awards, I grow amazing followers, I change the world, I help people grow their wings and their butterflies to transform their life and be beautiful every single day. And I watch that video in the morning to remind myself of how I want to feel and want to attract and bring to others. So I think writing it down and not only writing it down, but like visualizing it. You've got to visualize
it. We're either marinating in conditioned consciousness, which is full of doubt, or we're marinating in a created identity. We create. We've talked about this a lot, creating the identity of who you are becoming. It's not that you're not enough now, but we've got to overcome those neurons. Ooh, I love that. Love it. Thank you. All right, Peter, biggest advice.
Stop nexting.
Tell us more.
Stop nexting. So when we are in phase one, a lot of times we're looking for the potential or what we're supposed to be doing. Make a decision, make it the right decision, and follow it through until it doesn't work. A lot of times we start I call it nexting. So started a coaching business. Next thing you know, there's a multi-level marketing business that's presented to me. Next thing you know, there's a team leader role presented to me. Next time, you know, there's a sales role. When you know what you want to do and you've identified your passion or at least close to it, move closer to that direction and block off the distractions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay to run out and do a, you know, do a Diner Dash or do an Uber or sell some stuff. That's not nexting. That's that cash problem that we're fixing.
Money project, yeah.
Yeah. Yet I've seen so many people take on a part-time job or a full-time job to support it when they were this close of just breaking through. Just keep pushing. That's the biggest one that I see.
Let's all take a breath together. Thank you. We have 2 minutes left, so I'm going to let the questions, if y'all have, there's some questions in here, but I think Sari's not here anymore. If you have specific questions, ask in the group. These are all three members of our group. They have all been where you are. Let me just check in. Thank you for all of you for spending your time here learning. And I would also love, so thank you to our panelists very much for your time and your expertise and your gift. And then watchers, I would love to hear your 2 to 3 insights all in one thread. Somebody just start the thread and my takeaways from it are, and then real quick, I want to ask Diane, Peter, and Nadine, where everybody moved around. Are y'all thumbs up if I take this recording and put it in a podcast?
Sure.
Okay. I think this was really valuable, and I would love, I didn't do my podcast last night, and all of a sudden I'm going, this is why it's perfect. Thank y'all so much. A great call. Everybody take something and run with it. Run with it. I love you guys. Diane will be at Camp Starheart. Yes, Diane will be at Camp Starheart. So if anybody wants to enroll, we have 7 more days for that. Love you guys. Appreciate you. And then also, when I do the podcast, I'm going to have all their websites and stuff on, but you can also stalk them from our Facebook group, follow or friend, and see what their offerings are, if there's anything they can do to support you. Y'all know I love the cross-pollination. When it's aligned. I love you. Thank you. Great call.
Thanks.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better. Better is better.